In the name of our wonderful, merciful Savior, dear brothers and sisters, kids, your parents tell you it's time to make your bed, do your laundry, clean the bathrooms, put away all of the Legos. You slave and you work for what seems to be an eternity. It's a solid 28 and a half minutes. And you work so hard, and in the last 2 minutes, that brother or sister of yours who's hiding behind the couch downstairs comes up, puts a new roll of toilet paper in the bathroom, and then has the gall and audacity to stand before mom or dad at the end of 30 minutes and put out his or her hand for the allowance. But what shocks you, children, is that the same amount of allowance that mom or dad puts into your hands, they put into your brother or sister's hands. The one who worked 2 minutes and didn't do anything. You know what words are coming to your mind, don't you? It's not, you know how it finishes, fair. Students, that group project at the end of the semester is done. There's a report, there's a presentation, you've been assigned into groups. You've worked and you've slaved, you pulled two all-nighters leading up to the presentation date. On the day of, that one person in your study group who hasn't done a thing, who skipped half of the meetings you were supposed to be together, shows up and just stands there and smiles during the entire presentation. And at the end, your teacher, your professor, gives you all the same grade. You know what's going through your mind. It's not fair. You have put in 30 years of hard labor at your job. You've worked hard for the vacation that you get and the benefits that you've earned. And then, someone who's worked there for a year, you find out, is getting the same salary, the same benefits, and the same vacation that you are, and even a better office. What do you say? You say, it's not fair. You don't need a degree in business management to have a sense of what is fair for the work that you do. And that little clock of what's fair, or that little sense of what's fair or not, starts going from very young on and continues all through life. Your fair-o-meter is usually always working very well, no matter what age you are. Which is why when you hear this story from our Savior Jesus Christ, this parable, that fair-o-meter might be in the red zone. This doesn't sound fair. This is a shocking story. I'd like to share it with you. It's from Matthew chapter 20, and it begins at verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. Okay, let's pause there. You got the context? Northern Virginians, you've seen vineyards before. There's a big vineyard. They need people to work. Perhaps it's harvest time. Often on farms or in agricultural places at harvest, you need to pull in other workers because there's so much to do, day laborers, and you agreed to pay them a wage. A denarius was about a day's wage. It was a fair wage. This man is a vineyard. He's agreeing to pay some people to, well, help out a little bit there. What happens? Verse 3, about the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again at about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only an hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. That doesn't seem fair. Did you catch the story? The people who worked right at the end of the day got the same as those who had worked all day long. What is going on here? A few things to help us understand this. First of all, you need to know that one of the questions that was often swirling through the minds of Jesus' disciples was, what am I going to get for this? Sometimes they'd ask it as bluntly as, Lord, which of us is going to be greatest and get to sit by you in the kingdom of heaven? Lord, I've given up this or that, my profession or my friends or my family to follow you. What are you going to give me? Which of us will be best? So Jesus had to turn around their thinking a little bit. Also realize that Jesus is telling us a parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly or a spiritual meaning. A parable usually has one main spiritual point. With that in mind, understand that Jesus isn't actually advocating an extreme form of socialism here. He's not telling you to turn upside down every business contract that you've ever made in your life. If you have employees under you, he's not saying that you must pay all of them the same, whether they show up to work or not. But the key to this is at the beginning of the parable. He's saying, the kingdom of heaven is like dot, dot, dot. In other words, the way that God operates, the way that God deals with us, is going to be like this. What's he saying? The main point of this is that you're going to be in God's kingdom. You're going to be in heaven, not because of how many hours you've worked as a Christian, not because of all the work that you've done to be good for God. You will be in God's kingdom. You'll be part of his family. You are right now only because of his grace and mercy and his generosity. We've looked at the calendar. We just started the month of October. Long time Lutherans, you're getting pumped. Every October it's Reformation month, and this year, wow, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. I mean, come on, we've had our Luther bobbleheads on our desks and drawers for months. We're excited, we get it. So when I start to say these things to you, good old-time Lutherans, you hear this and you go, yeah, that's right. We're saved not by works alone. We like that. That sounds good. No problem. All right, let's go to the offering. What's next? It's one thing to acknowledge this theologically, it is a whole other thing to meditate upon it and believe it and accept it personally. What's Jesus really saying? Warning, you might be offended. Jesus is saying that you have done absolutely nothing, nor could you do anything to be saved. You could do nothing and have done nothing to earn God's favor. You are just as worthy of hell by nature as every other sinner who has ever walked this earth. You offended yet? That doesn't sound as good, does it? No, because that starts to offend our reason. And inside of us somewhere, a little bit or a lot, is a little Pharisee who says, no, I must do something to earn this. God must smile upon me in some kind of way. But what have I earned? God says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. What you and I have earned for our labor in this world is death, physical and spiritual, forever in hell. Sin is not free. That lust that you have is not free. That substance abuse is not free. That laziness, that anger, that hatred towards others, some that you're related to, is not free. Your apathy for God's word is not free. Your love of yourself more than others in Him is not free. All of that has a cost. All of that has earned a wage. The wages of sin is death. What does God teach us? If He's going to pay us fairly, He's going to send us to hell. Ouch. But when my pride is gutted, when I fall on my knees and I say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner, and all that's in my heart and mind that deserves death now and forever, then my eyes can be opened to begin to understand what mercy and grace really is. How does Romans 6:23 continue? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life, a place in God's kingdom, is what a gift. It's not a wage. It's not something you earn. It's something He gives, a gift. The illustration that helps me think of this is pondering what to give my wife for her birthday. If one year I saved up all of my denarii and I gave her pearl earrings, I bet she'd be excited. But do you think she'd be excited if I gave her these pearl earrings and said, oh, my lovey, my heartbeat, my schmoopy poopy, here we go. Here are your pearl earrings. I love you forever. They are a gift from me to you. And all you need to do to keep this gift is shine my shoes and mow the lawn and make me whatever I want to eat and take care of the kids when they get annoying. And then you can keep it. But if you don't, I'm going to take it back and I'm going to buy fishing stuff. I love you. I hear some of your advice already. Duck. Those pearl earrings might be coming back. That's not a gift. That's a wage. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You want your reason to be blown away? This is what God decided to do without you doing a thing. He decided to pay it all. Oh, it did take a great wage for you to get to heaven. So what did God do? He came to this earth in Jesus Christ. He lived perfectly for you, a full day, a full life of perfect work in God's vineyard. He put that all in place of your imperfections. And then He suffered hell on a cross and died and bled all over your lust and laziness and apathy and selfishness. And as He was dying for sins He never committed on the cross, what did He shout out? It's not fair. No, it is finished. Paid in full. Everything needed is done for me to go into heaven and for you too. That's called grace. That's called mercy. That's called yours. So when you go to sleep tonight and your mind is still swirling with the list of things that are waiting for you on Monday in this week, how awesome to know that the biggest thing is checked off. Be perfect. Jesus did that for you. Suffer hell. No, He went through that for you. Gain heaven. He got that for you. Be forgiven. Done. It is finished. Everything is done. There's nothing left for you to do. There's nothing left for you to be in Him. You are a new creation. That's mercy. That's grace. So that now you can be free to look at yourself in a new way. Forgiven, cleansed, done, and others in a new way too. He did that for others too. And you don't need to be bent on whether they're working to earn it or not. You can be thankful that he earned it for them and for you as well. Towards the end of my vicar year, I was able to be at the bedside of a man who was dying, who spent most of his life living for himself and not God. He had hurt people, he had abused people, he had abused his own body with what he had taken into it, and he was dying because of that. But within 6 months of his death, he came to know that Jesus Christ was his Savior, and that Jesus had died for all the sins of his youth and his old age too. As I stood at his bedside, he confessed his faith in Jesus, and we said the Lord's Prayer, and he died. When I walked away from that hospital, do you think I was walking down the street saying, "Oh, it's not fair! Here I am, spending all these years at synodical schools, a confirmed Lutheran, working hard, and that man who spent most of his life abusing himself and others is going to share heaven with me. It's not fair." No, I didn't say that. I walked away saying, "Oh, God, thank you. Roy's going to be at the party, and I'm going to see him. You'll see him one day, too." God's mercy changes the way we see ourselves and the way that we see others. It's not fair. That's called grace. It is finished because of Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding guard and keep our hearts and minds through faith in him. Amen.